I saw that love, and it says that, you know, it says, for the joy set before me, endured the cross, and we all know that's us, right? But I think we always recognize the legal aspect of why we couldn't be with God. We were forbidden. He's holy. We weren't. And when Adam sinned, the whole scroll, which is the title deed of planet Earth and all the areas of influence that the enemy has, when Adam was given that in the garden, it says he gave him authority over the world that was created. And when he sinned, that scroll was rolled up and the enemy had it. And no one was allowed. Couldn't even look at it. And it took a sinless sacrificial lamb whose perfect blood was shed, and the account of my sin was paid in full at the cross when Jesus died. The resurrection was just the proof that the blood was in fact sinless and perfect, and that the lamb's sacrifice was adequate. But I believe that joy set before him is that he knew there would be a moment in the courts of heaven where there would be weeping, everyone would be broken and desperate, saying, there's no way out of this. No one can ever go back to the way it was. No one can ever take back from the side of good. The armies of heaven could never go back and take back what was rightfully handed over to the enemy when Adam yielded to his temptation and sinned against God. And Jesus knew he was going to look a little beat up. Says he looked like a lamb that had just been slain. That's not pretty. Lambs have white fleece and blood is red. That's not a pretty sight when you see a lamb that looks like it just got massacred. But yet in that lamb was the right to walk forward to the right hand of the Father and to say, I'll take that now. It says he bought us back with his own blood. And all that Kevin could say was, he's worthy. It was he didn't cut any corners. He didn't try to come under radar. He didn't have to sneak up to the throne and grab it. He could walk right up to it and take it, because what he did on the cross was enough to cover the sin debt from Adam forward and for everyone that will ever be on planet Earth. It was a sufficient payment to pay it all in full. I imagine when he walked across, he probably forgot all about Gethsemane, probably forgot all about the torture of the cross and the beatings and the mockings and the beard plucking and the spitting and this punching and everything else they did to him, because he was walking towards something that says no one on earth, in heaven, under the earth, in the sea, no one was worthy to approach unless they had been willing to pay. And Jesus was the only one who was able, and thank God, willing to pay, to walk up and to take that and to begin to open it back up. And I believe that the time that we live in now, this time on earth called the kingdom of heaven, after Jesus rose and sent his Holy Spirit to be with us, this is the season of earth where it says, we now reign and rule as kings and priests on this earth. That responsibility has been given to us who are willing to embrace the Holy Spirit, willing to say, it's no longer I that's living, but it's Christ living in me by the Spirit. For those who are ready to take up that mantle, he has left us here to accomplish something on planet Earth, and it's not going to be mediocre or half-baked or unfinished when he returns. It's going to be done by a glorious bride who believes with a full heart that he is coming back and that he loves her. This morning, I want to just touch on a few scriptures that talk about our purpose, because I've been trying to just simplify everything in my life, sell things that I don't need, get everything focused in, because the Lord wants to do something really special with us as a church family. He wants to do something special on planet Earth, period. He always has. This is something new that's in his heart. He's always desired it, but I believe a people and a generation is rising up to meet the challenge. And we're ready to say, okay, God, whatever it takes, we've got to be filled with your Spirit. We've got to love people the way that you did. We've got to be on the move towards the harvest field that is ready to be harvested. And there's a purpose that he's put inside every single one of us who believe, and it's not the time to ignore it or to pretend that it doesn't exist. Time is too short. Lives are on the line. We just did a funeral on Tuesday for a young man, 25. He stood next to me just a few weeks ago on July 7th. We baptized him, and he stood here and declared that he needed Jesus, that he accepted Jesus, that he loved God, and yet a couple poor decisions, and he overdosed, and he died just a couple weeks later. And to stand next to him in that casket in New Jersey, and I was honored to be asked to do the funeral, and all the family said, well, we have places we go to meet down here sometimes to church, but that's all Evan talked about was Kingsfire Church in Kingston, New York, and how much the people loved him, and they didn't judge him, and they just embraced him, and he was just coming back to just come back from having messed up a little bit, and he was on his route back to just being helped and loved and to be part of a family of brothers that I believe the Lord's calling me to help facilitate raise up by providing housing for them. And he was just so close, and yet he was taken out just that close, I believe, to where he was really going to be preserved. And I just want to encourage you, this life is precious, and it's also so fragile. Yes, it's precious, but every precious thing is very fragile, and it's easily here and then gone. Our time is the most precious thing we have, folks, and yet how fast does a day go by? And if we're not focused on the purpose God has for our lives, then we're going to just let it be absorbed with whatever else comes along. And I'm just going to jump into this idea that I've been thinking about, and I think maybe you've been thinking about it too, but I just hope that however the rest of this service ends up, that you don't forget, you can take his presence with you. That he goes with you, he's there, but whether or not you access that and are aware of that and utilize that strength and grace that he is there with you to extend towards the people in your life that you work with, go to school with, and have a family with, then we miss opportunities and we don't understand why it is we feel frustrated and like life doesn't have the full meaning it's supposed to have. I'm telling you, it's a lot simpler, and we're going to look at some scriptures, but I know something happens to us, and many of us once had a purpose, and we just need to be refocused on what that purpose is. We need to be reminded. I know Peter talks in his epistle in 2 Peter 3, 1 through 4 about how he's writing this letter to remind them of something they once knew. To be reminded means that it was once in your mind, it went out of your mind, and now I'm re-putting it back there again, right? That's to re-something, it has to be re. And I think sometimes our purpose just gets established by the world, and we need to be repurposed. There's a big thing, if you watch HGTV, I try not to because it makes me spend money and have ideas that I shouldn't have, even though they're all good, but they take my time and my resources. And anyway, great ideas. I love the creativity on that show, and it's hard to stop watching. But there's that one show about the flea market. I think it's called Flea Market Flip. Flea Market Flip. Wow, you know it. And you know, they go to the flea market, and it's just they find a piece of what most people would say is junk. They negotiate the price down from the seller, and then they try to make it into something cool, and then go back out to the flea market and try to sell it as a repurposed thing. And one of the, I mean, some of the things, it's like, is it really better than it was when you first found it? I mean, there was one, and I don't know if this is completely accurate, but it's kind of the trend of the show. Is one was like a sewing machine, you know, the old-fashioned like Singer sewing machines, and you know, the next thing, these ladies got a hold of it, and next thing, you know, it's like bright yellow to things like it's a dry bar, it's a cell phone charger, it's a vase, it's like all these things, and it's just like, and they got good money for it. They flipped it, and they repurposed it. Things in a barn somewhere, it doesn't work as a sewing machine anymore, and so they repurposed it. And sometimes things get repurposed in a better way, and sometimes things get repurposed in a way that's far less than what it was originally supposed to do. And I believe what happens to us as believers, you know, we can have moments like this morning where we can just feel that God loves us, and I hope that you could at least feel that. I hope you could feel that he wants to receive you. He wants you to repent for whatever it is that you're doing wrong, but he wants to then receive you into the place that he's prepared for you. And but we can forget. We can need to be reminded. We need to be reminded of our purpose sometimes, that there's something God had in his heart for our lives that's way more than just the stuff that we do on a daily basis. When someone talks about purpose, and they often think, well, that means career, or that means where I work or what I do. What you do is not your primary purpose. Your purpose is much greater than that. And the reason I know that is because 2 Timothy 1:9 tells us that God had a purpose for our lives, a purpose and a grace to accomplish what needed to be accomplished. And he had it in his heart before time was even started, before he created time. He had purpose in mind for every single person who would ever be birthed into time. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but you can look it up and read it, you know, as we're short on time. But 2 Timothy 1:9 or 1:8 through 10, it talks about that reality. God has a purpose for our life. And we looked just 2 weeks ago about Romans 8:28, that he's working all things together for our good according to his purpose. And if we lose sight of that, then the difficulties we face in life often just offend us or push us away or make us feel like, I just want to give up, it's not worth trying, because you forget that it's all working together for purpose. God has something in his heart to accomplish, and if you lose sight of that and all you see is the natural stuff that's not working right, you can easily get frustrated and burned out in the process. I've been thinking, you know, it's occurred to me a few times, but I figured I'd just mention it this morning. It fits with what I'm saying, that when you hear a car alarm go off, if you're a guy, do you quickly look for another strong guy and say, hey, someone's getting robbed out in the parking lot, we better go and stop it? Not usually, right? I don't, maybe, you know, you're just that kind of person. You're like, okay, we're just looking for someone to whatever you're going to do to them. You're going to give them a handshake, right, and say, please don't do that. That's the wrong thing to do. Whatever you're going to do, but you don't do that. Why? What do you usually, what's the first thought that comes to mind when you hear a car alarm going off? Huh? Yeah, someone's in the grocery store, they let their toddler, you know, play with the keys, and they're in, you know, they're at the cash register, and they hit the alarm button by mistake, and so now we all got to listen to this stupid, annoying sound until somebody finally realizes, you know, their car's, we actually had a funny situation, a funeral, I believe it was, going on here, and someone in our, you know, we had parked along the sides of the road, and there's this car alarm going off in the middle, and everyone's hearing it, and in hindsight, talking to this person, they're like, man, I was just getting so upset. I was getting so frustrated. Like, just nobody cared that there's a, like, it's disturbing the whole service. And they're sitting there. After a couple of minutes, they're like, my goodness. And so they walk out the side door, and sure enough, it's their car that the, you know, that the car alarm's going. So we set them in case someone tries to steal our car, but we're not actually even listening for it because it doesn't, we don't get, maybe if you're from, I don't know, certain parts of the city or from Newburgh, this is a different story for you, and you're like, thank God for my car alarm. It's the only thing that keeps me safe. But for around here in Ulster County, most of the time, it's just someone who's mishandled their keys, someone who turned it on, and then someone just, you know, kid tapped on the door, went to open it by mistake, and it sets it off, right? Most of the time, it's just accidental things. It's not what it was actually designed to do. The car alarm's just going off because of a mistake. And I feel like if we're not careful, what happens is, to us as believers, is that we begin to readjust our purpose and our expectation based on life experiences rather than what the intended purpose actually was. It's just in our wiring. If something doesn't function according to the intended purpose long enough, we just adjust what we expect that sound to be. No one thinks it's a car alarm because someone, no one thinks it's an anti-theft device when they hear it. They just think it's an annoyance device that someone needs to figure out how to turn off so we don't have to listen to it. Isn't that pretty much true for the most part? And if you've had your car, you know, broken into and your alarm's going off and it saved you, then that's awesome. But I can tell you, high in the 90th percentile, it's just accidental things and that set that alarm off. And so, is it still an anti-theft device? Yeah. The car it's still an anti-theft device. It's still designed to stop your car from being robbed. However, if we're not even listening to the alarm anymore because we're so used to it not being for that purpose but being by a human error, then it's going to get robbed and no one's even paying attention. No one's even looking around to say, hey, can we shine a light on this guy? He's clearly robbing this car. No one's even looking for that because they're like, huh, somebody's going to be embarrassed when they realize their car is the one that's been making all this annoying sound. I believe it happens as to us as believers as well, that maybe there's things that don't happen the way that we thought they should. There's purposes God's working out in our life that are taking longer than we think that they should. Maybe we feel like we're ready for whatever the thing that's coming next, and God's like, no, you're not ready yet. There's still a little bit of refining. There's still a little bit of things that have to work out in your life before you're ready for that next promise, that next thing that he's going to do in your life, the next part of the purpose he's going to reveal. But what if we just stop looking for it anymore and we figure, well, you know, every other time I've prayed about that, every other time I tried to address this issue, it just blown up in my face, it hasn't worked, so therefore I'm just going to assume that I'm no longer supposed to fulfill that purpose. You see the, is it clear enough of a segue? I don't know. Car alarms, Holy Spirit talking to us, I don't know if you can make that or not. Hopefully, if you understand it, it's definitely the Holy Spirit doing it. It's just human. We adapt what we expect from something if we let life experience be the thing that teaches us rather than the truth of what God has to say in his word. And God's very clear. It says he has called us and saved us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose. And he sends Jesus to fulfill a purpose too, to bring us back to the Father, to unite us. In John 12:27, Jesus is telling his disciples this. He says, now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Oh, Father, save me from this hour. It's like, no, but for this purpose, this is what I came to this hour for. He's not going to pray to get out of it because he knows there was a purpose that was established for him to accomplish on earth that was going to include Gethsemane. It was going to include the crucifixion. It was going to include the passion that he had to endure to become that sinless sacrifice on the cross so that he could stroll across the court floor of heaven and say, I'll take that back now. I have a right to this, and to everyone whose names are in this, I now have the opportunity to have this message preached to them. They can be redeemed and bought back if they'll simply receive my gift. There was purpose in why Jesus came. But wouldn't you know it, when Jesus comes, what do we discover about what he does? He comes with a purpose to reconcile people back to the Father. But what was the other thing that he came to do? What was the other purpose? To help his disciples find their purpose. What was their purpose? To go out and preach a message of reconciling people back to the Father. And what additional purpose did he give them? When you read what Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, you know, find faithful men that you can teach this gospel to so that they can then turn and teach it to other faithful men also. Men and women, include yourselves there, ladies. And I know the Bible was written a long time ago, and we're not up to speed on all the gender, whatever stuff that's going on in the crazy society. Now, I know that now a manhole cover will not be that. It'll be a maintenance cover or something. Now, if you know, it's just amazing how... I mean, folks are, it's true, it's actually in certain townships, they've already, you know, hey, we've got to stop this whole male domination thing, and I don't know, it's just, people are so easily offended, that's all I can think to say. Stuff that didn't offend people for hundreds of years, now all of a sudden they're ready to lose the top of their head over it, so whatever, it is what it is, but Jesus doesn't change his purpose based on the events of our life. His purpose was established before time was started. He has a purpose for us to do what? To make sure that other people know their purpose. So that they can make sure that other people know their purpose. That's just too simple. What about living life in the process? Seek first the kingdom and all these things will be added to you. When you seek the true purpose of heaven for your life, the natural stuff gets added into your life. You don't have to seek that stuff to find that stuff. God promises, I'll add it in behind you. I can testify to that. I don't always know how to try to stay ahead of the blessing that the Lord has poured out on my life as a husband and a father and a family guy. I don't know how. I can't even explain it. When people see and they're a part of what the Lord is doing, I don't even know where to start to tell the story. It's just overwhelming from a tiny little, you know, rats crawling into our one bedroom, not even a full bedroom apartment with three children. And got kicked out of that because we were too big for it and they needed us to find someplace. It was God's mercy that was the safety net that we even found a place to move into. And to go from that to having, you know, moved several times, fixed up houses, you know, the HGTV came in and maybe rescued my butt a few times over the years. But, you know, I didn't know what I was doing, but I was just trusting the Lord. And I just know that children are a blessing from the Lord, and every blessing from Him makes us rich and it adds no sorrow to it. I believe the scripture on that. So we have 10 children. I mean, call me crazy, but I just... Don't look at me and wonder where the blessing's coming from. It's coming from Him because I trust Him at His word. I believe that He's true and that He's not going to write something that's a blessing for me and then I have 10 of them and I find out, oh no, they're not a blessing. They're the greatest blessing of my life. They're on the team here worshiping. They're at home mowing the yard. They're the greatest asset I have is my family. But people, you know, if you listen to the culture of the world, you're afraid to have even more than one, maybe two if you're really crazy. This culture doesn't know how to get you blessed. They know how to make you selfish. They know how to make sure that everything in your life serves you and makes you number one and take care of number one because no one else will. It's the opposite of the gospel message, which is, I no longer live, Christ lives in me. I'll lay down my life for another. The sheep gives his life for the shepherd. You've got to understand this reality. We live in an upside down kingdom. It's not functioning based on the rules of this world that we live in. Our purpose is simply to make sure, as a parent, that your children know their purpose is to grow up and to have a voice, to be able to tell their friends and coworkers, hey, you've got purpose. You don't need to be high on that stuff. There's a purpose God has for you, and if you seek that first, you're going to have a natural high that's the stuff trying to replace the fact that you don't have that one. We have a purpose, and it's very clear in 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 19. I know that, you know, for this purpose Christ was revealed to destroy the works of the evil one, and there's other purposes, but what was the greatest work of the evil one? He took humans away from the Heavenly Father that birthed them in the first place. And the works of lies and everything built up in our minds is what he's trying to destroy so we can come back to him. It's all based on reconciling us back to the Father. And so as we close this morning, 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 19, To me, this is one of the most clear, simple, concise statements about what your purpose is in life. And you can accept it or reject it. That's on you. But if you complicate it, you're bringing that upon yourself. You don't need to. Your purpose is way more than a career path or how many children you're going to have. All that stuff is not your primary purpose. Your purpose is this. Now, all things are of God. 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 19 says, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. And has, let me just pause there for a minute. He has his purpose that he came for. When he says, what am I going to call out for help now that it's getting hard? No, my purpose was to come and deal with the hardship that humankind was under so that they can be free from the law of sin and death and live by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And so when he's pressed and he's under the pressure of that moment, he says, no, there's a purpose. The purpose was to reconcile us back. If you ever had odds with somebody and you've really been at odds, where just the thought or someone mentioning, maybe it's not even them, but they say the same name as that person has, and it triggers something like that kind of intense. If you've ever had something go that wrong in your life, and then you've had an opportunity, maybe years later, probably a long time later, to meet them again on different terms and to be reconciled, there's something so special that happens in your heart. You feel this warmth, you feel this love, you feel this grace, you feel this is just right now. What was wrong has been made right. Reconciliation is not just, it's not shallow. It goes to the core of who we are because we were created to know God. We walked with him in the Garden of Eden. We knew him. We could be in his presence together, and then sin separated us. But Jesus brings us back together. He reconciles us. He goes from darkness can't be in the presence of light to saying, now you can come boldly to the throne of grace because I have taken from the righteous judge and opened the scroll that the enemy had his rightful claim to. And it doesn't stop with just Jesus' purpose of reconciling us back to the Father. There's just a comma there. And it says, so Jesus' purpose was to come and to do what he did to reconcile us back. But here's part two, and this is where we can easily miss our purpose if we're not reading the full thing. It says, and now has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, now I'm going to give you the message of reconciliation, okay? For anyone that said, I can't preach the gospel, it's too involved, I can't tell your story, and then tell this. This is not even a full sentence. It's a second half of a sentence. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. Here's the ministry of it. Here's the message of it. God was in Christ, or working through Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. In other words, not charging them for the crimes that they've committed. Why? Because he's an unrighteous judge? No, because the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world walked across the throne and paid with his own blood the price for our freedom. That's why he can write this. That's Paul understood this. He understood that this ministry of reconciliation came at Jesus paying the cost of his own lifeblood. But he also knows that now that we've received that, it's our duty, it's our responsibility. Jesus isn't here anymore. He's here by the Spirit living in earthen vessels, called human beings, who are now the ambassadors, who are now the ones who go carry the same message. It says, we now have this ministry of reconciliation. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not charging them or imputing their trespasses to them, and now has committed to us the word of reconciliation. If you honestly believe that you can't tell someone, especially if they're struggling and they seem down, if you can't tell someone, hey, whatever you're feeling, whatever weight you're carrying, just know that's not from God. He poured all his wrath on Jesus. Jesus took your place. The stuff that you're getting wrong, the stuff that you got wrong, the things that you're going to get wrong from here forward, he's already paid it in full. Jesus is not going to charge you for those failures and those shortfalls anymore. He's already paid for them. And he's reconciled you back to a place where now you have access to your heavenly Father again. All you have to do is believe it in your heart and confess it with your mouth. I know my kids play dumb sometimes. Go wash the windows. Oh, I can't find the paper towel. Or I can't find the window. Is this enough left in the bottle? Is this enough left? How do I fill it? Did you even try to? Yeah. They know how to prolong the stuff. I wonder if Spirit, I know I do it. That's why I have no problem addressing you like this. I do it. Oh, I'm just not ready yet. I don't know. I don't know if I, you know, I need to probably go to seminary. I probably need some training. No, you just need a love in your heart for the people that don't know him yet. For someone who's still lonely, who's still broken, who's still beat up over that fear of knowing death is imminent. We all have a fear of death. We all know our mortality someplace inside. And I'm convinced the more skulls and crossbones and death that people paint all over their bodies, it's just an indication somewhere's in there. That infatuation has something deeper to do. They're afraid of what they don't know yet. Maybe they wouldn't call it that, but I'm telling you. In the right moment, you can have a heart-to-heart with them and tell them, hey, it's going to be all right. All you got to do is believe this and repent for your sin. Come back to the one who's made full payment for everything you've ever done wrong. And he will guaranteed receive you because he came to earth for that purpose. And he gave me the purpose to tell you. And all you've got to do is go and tell somebody else. Can it really be that simple? I hate to find out that it was that simple and I still didn't do anything with it when I stand before him. We can all do this. We can all find somebody that needs to hear. Doesn't matter where you are and how mature you are in the faith, we can all find someone. If you're intimidated by adults, find a child. Go teach Sunday school. Find a little set of ears that doesn't really know what's happening and what life is about yet, and begin to tell them some of the stories that you do know from the Bible. Begin to tell them how God has a plan for their life, not just a career path, but a purpose for them to be a light shining in a dark place, to have joy when no one else has joy, to have peace when a world is just turbulent and trying to find peace everywhere it's not. Let's just stand together this morning. Speaking of Sunday school teachers, they're out there baking away in the sun and I'm running long. But I just felt like there's no way we were going to leave that moment of worship, those times in worship, without letting the Holy Spirit do all that he wanted to do. I just want to say something. Some people always get confused when you talk about the Holy Spirit and unknown languages and tongues and all these things, and people get all weirded out sometimes. John the Baptist baptized people in water. And we saw Jesus come and he said, there's one coming after me. He's going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit and in fire. Fire and water are a little different. Usually used the one to put out the other, you know. They're both baptisms. But Jesus reveals that he is the one who does the baptizing in the Holy Spirit. A person can pray over you, they can lay hands on you, and there's scriptural context for how that anointing of the Holy Spirit can be passed to you, yes. But I'll encourage you in this, because when I truly received the Holy Spirit, I was all by myself. And I knew I needed a strength greater than the strength that I was finding. In some of the greatest meetings that I'd been to, I needed something more. I needed something genuine. I needed something straight from heaven for me. And so I got alone. If you want to be immersed, baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, he's a consuming fire. He burns away the stuff that you don't need but you thought you did. But he sets your heart free. He lets you have that internal purpose that's greater than just a good message or a good book that you read or a good song that you heard on the radio. It's an abiding presence. And as we were in that place this morning, I was just remembered, as my wife was just saying, just let him baptize you. It might be a little uncomfortable. You might not quite understand, why do I have goosebumps? Why do I feel like, why am I sweating? Why am I shaking? There might be some things that happen to your physical body because the supernatural is coming close to you. Jesus said, if an earthly father knows how to give good gifts to his children, how much more your heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him for it. God's more than happy to give himself to you. He's not waiting for you to get it right. He comes into your life so that you can get it right. And he is so rich and tangible. I just pray, just want to say that as a clarification, if there was any confusion in your heart about those of us who have a heavenly language and we make gibberish sounds, we don't know what we're saying, but the Bible reveals that he knows what we're saying. That in our spirit we can speak a mystery that our mind and the natural doesn't understand what we're saying. And if you don't have that gift and you've not received that, there's no judgment against you. This is a walk, a journey of faith. We go from glory to glory. We're learning along this process. I served the Lord for many, many years. before I fully submit to myself. It's like, I don't care what it looks like. I just need to be free from the fear that's gripping my heart. I need to be free from these things that I know can't be dealt with by any natural technique. I need you, Holy Spirit. And just encourage you, get some time alone. God desires to give you everything that's good. He's a good father. He's not going to harm you. You ask him for bread, he's not going to give you a serpent or a scorpion. And as the parable goes, he's a good father. Let's just pray together. Lord Jesus, as we stand here this morning, thank you for reminding us by your word what our true purpose is. It's just to go out and find people that don't seem to have a purpose and tell them, hey, you have a purpose. God, let the simplicity of that just convict our hearts. Let us begin to love people with a simple kind of love that doesn't expect anything in return. But in the same way that you came, not expecting anything from us, but just to give yourself as a sacrifice for us, we too can lay down our lives and we too can sacrifice things so that other people would hear and know and see and experience your love. Lord, I pray for a special creativity to just be poured out on this church family, that we would have creative ways how to reach individuals in our neighborhood, maybe even just specific ones that people we've heard about are just the hardened, grumpy older folks or young, bratty people, whoever they are, just the ones that even the neighbors say, hey, don't mess around with them. Help us to find even them. Help us to go beyond what this world says is possible. Help us to love unlovable people, Lord. Help us to reach behind the bars that guard people's hearts when they're in that prison of shame and guilt and they don't know that the price has already been paid, the locks have already been taken off. God, help us to walk this out by your Spirit. We can't do it in our own strength. For those of us who've tried and we've maybe adapted what we thought our purpose was because of the failures and the times we tried and it didn't work, Father, we repent for that. We don't want to live less of a life than what you've purposed in your heart for us. Lord, I pray that you continue to reveal to us by your Spirit that better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Take us all up a notch, Lord. Take us all up to a view that lets us see just how much you love us so then we can turn around and love our fellow men and women, our brothers and sisters, with that kind of love. In Jesus' precious name, we thank you and we ask these things. Amen. If you need prayer this morning for anything at all, why don't you come forward? Let us pray for you. Anything at all. Otherwise, we'll see you downstairs. Have a blessed day. Find somebody and make sure they know that they're loved.